a message. I must tell the world Jesus is coming to take his bride away. So brothers and sisters, are you ready? Don't you forget, the time is at hand. It's either the curse of this empty life, and I am crying in his glorious light. He said he would come like a thief in the night. Come, Lord Jesus. Take your bride away, back to your kingdom. Perfection will display. Bride, are you ready? Make haste, don't delay. Keep pressing and pressing. A process, mighty opening I feel each day, getting closer. Oh, truly we wait on our knees, we'll pray, we feel the pull on these bodies of clay. Twinkling of an eye, will be changed to meet him in the sky. Going to be the rapture, ready for departure. The rapture is only to the bride, who will take him from his side. What a glorious day to live in. Saints on this side to be that airy with those revealed. But we must win. Come, Lord Jesus, take your bride away, back to your kingdom. Perfection will display. Ready, make haste, don't delay. Keep pressing and pressing. The rapture is a process. Mighty opening I feel each day. Getting closer, oh, truly we wait on our knees. His bodies of clay. Saints will stand in the twinkling of an eye, will be changed to meet him in the sky. The Lord shall descend with a shout, in the voice of an archangel. The shout, the voice, the drum, message has gone forth. Jesus has sold free. He is descending. We will not be in the land of sleep. His lamp trimming time, can't you see? Come, Lord Jesus, take your bride away. Your kingdom, perfection will display. Bride, are you ready? Make haste, don't delay. Keep pressing.
pushing and pressing. The rapture is a process. Mighty opening I feel each day. Getting closer. Truly we wait. On our knees we'll pray. We feel the pull. The promise they saw. Oh, what do we find in your shortage in our age? The day without us should not be made perfect. Just think they depended on us. Now this day, now our faith. Pray. Come, Lord Jesus, take your bride away back to your kingdom. Perfection will display. Bride, are you ready? Make haste, don't delay. Pressing and pressing. The rapture is a process. Mighty opening I feel each day. Getting closer. Truly we wait. On our knees we'll pray. We feel the pull. On these bodies of flame. Saints will sing in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be changed to meet him in the sky. Come, Lord Jesus, take your bride away back to your kingdom. Perfection will display. Bride, are you ready? Make haste, don't delay. Keep pressing and pressing. The rapture is a process. My theophany I feel each day. Getting closer. We wait on our knees, we'll pray. We feel the pull on these bodies of clay. Saints just sing in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be changed to meet him in the sky.
for the fullness of Him to be found in me. When He returns that day, so I'm crying out for Your Holy Spirit. It makes no sense for my existence without it. I'm crying out for Your Holy Spirit. More of You is what I need. Without You I cannot live. I need You, Lord. I'm desperate for You, God. Lord, I speak about change from this old body. Lord, I know I'll never see these things if You're not within me. So I'm here on my knees, crying, Jesus, please fill me. 'Cause when I see how take a broken vessel and mold it into Your image, Lord, I lay my love down before Thee. 'Cause I know my soul You can't preserve. Lord, if You take me and You mold me into Your world, then I know that I can make it for sure. 'Cause I'll have Your Holy Spirit within me. It will be a daily walk with You, Lord. So I'm crying out for Your Holy Spirit. It makes no sense for my existence without it. I'm crying out for Your Holy Spirit. More of You is what I need. Without You I cannot live. I'm crying out for Your Holy Spirit. It makes no sense for my existence without it. I'm crying out for Your Holy Spirit. More of You is what I need. For without You I cannot live. I need You, Lord. I'm desperate for You, God. I need You, Lord. I'm desperate for You, God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Casey and Elsie. Hallelujah. Amen. It's wonderful to worship the Lord. It's a pleasing sacrifice when the young can get up so pure at heart and they just sing and the Lord comes down, He's happy. Amen.
Many times must I prove how much I love You. How many ways must my love for You I show? How many times must I rescue You from trouble for You to know just how much I love You? How many times must I prove how much I love You? How many ways must my love for You I show? How many times
trouble for you to know just how much I love you. Wake you up this morning, clothed in your right mind. When you walk on this problem, stepped right in on time. Weak, alone, I've journeyed. My angel carried you, so you would know just how much I love you. How many times must I be a fence around you? How many nights must I wipe your tears away? How many storms must I bring you safely through for you to know just how much I love you? Food on your table, show up when your bills were due.
Hallelujah.
When the pains were racking your body, healing down to you. Lost in sin and sorrow, I died to set you free, so you would know just how much I love you. So you would know just how much I love you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. They didn't even need the words. All the young people, they don't sing with words. We need words. Amen. Because we forget. Them, they have it engraved in their hearts. Amen. How wonderful. Let's stand up. Let's change the order of the service while we get ready for the preaching of the word. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's ask Him to open the eyes of our hearts. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see only Jesus. Oh, oh, oh Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes, Lord. Open, you open my eyes. I want to see you. I only want to see Jesus. I want to see you. One more time, let's ask Him again. Hallelujah, with sincerity. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes, Lord. You open, open that I can understand you. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you, oh, to see you high, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of His glory. Pour out your power of love and sing holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, let's sing holy, 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 holy. Oh, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see Jesus this morning. I want to see you. Holy, holy, Lord, you are holy. Holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Oh, we want to see Jesus. I want to see you. You are Alpha and Omega.
worship you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You, Lord, you are Alpha. You are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, Lord. You, Lord, are worthy, Lord. Oh, let's give him glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you, Lord, Lord, are worthy. We give you glory. We give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you. Alone, Lord, are worthy. Oh, let's give him the glory we give. Oh, the glory. Oh, Lord, you, Lord, alone are worthy. Oh, we give you glory. We give you all. Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Oh, Father.
Amen.
How we thank you, Lord, that we can come unto thee and pray. Father, just so needy of thee. Father, every day. Amen. Father, outside of thee, we're nothing. Outside of thee, we can do nothing. Father, outside of your grace, Lord, outside of your leadership, where would we be?
Amen.
Father, outside of your mercy, your patience, your kindness. Amen. Father, outside of your love towards us. Father, where would we be upon this day?
Amen.
But Father, we just come unto thee upon this day to worship thee. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you've done.
Amen.
And all that you will do. Father, we appreciate these things, Lord. Father, we appreciate a place that we can come to worship thee. And Father, that is our desire. Father, we don't come to this place to see one another. But Father, we come into this place because we want to worship you. Father, we just want to see your face. We just want you to shine your face upon us, Lord. Father, we think of Moses when he said, "Show me your glory." And Father, you passed by and he saw the back part of a man. And Father, when he came down from that place, he was shining forth. Oh, Father, we desire to shine forth with your glory. Father, we're not just seeking for knowledge, but we're seeking, Lord, for something that will transform us upon this day. We're seeking something, Lord, that will help us as we go from this service, that you may better reflect your glory. That, Father, your will and your purpose and your desire. Father, Lord, that which is upon your heart upon this day, we desire to enter into that. We desire, Lord, that what's important to you will be important to us.
Amen.
And that everything else, Lord, would be secondary. Father, everything else we just lay it aside. That, Father, we may, Lord, have that fellowship with you in that secret place. Father, that communion with you where, Father, you reveal yourself as you did to John when he lay on your bosom. Father, we just long for that, Lord. So, Father, we want to come under the blood. Father, knowing that no man can have a fellowship with you like that outside of your blood. So we want to come under the blood of the Lamb upon this day. And anything that we've said or done, Father, anything that you've broken in your order, or anything that would grieve away your Holy Ghost, Lord, we're just asking, Lord, that the blood of the Lamb would speak even now, Lord, knowing that the blood speaks better things than that of Abel. So speak, Lord, and Father, wash us and cleanse us and help us. And as we'd come to open up your word, Father, anoint your word unto us, Lord. Father, open up our understanding. Anoint our eyes with thyself, Lord. Father, we desire, Lord, the manna, Lord, the hidden manna in our age, Lord. We desire to partake of thee upon this day. Everything that has been done in your service. So, Father, we're looking unto thee now. Lord, we wait upon thee. Bless us now in the remainder of the service. Thank you for song worship. Now, Father, we come, Lord, to the main event. We want to, Father, have an audience with you. That, Father, you may reveal unto us, Lord, the secrets of your heart. Grant us grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, saints. Brother Emil requesting for prayer. We'll definitely pray for him. Also, our visitor, Sister Mary France and Penelope from Manchester. God bless you, sisters. Wonderful. May the Lord bless you today is our desire. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 22. Same verse we read the other evening, but let's just take this a little bit down the line of what is really important for us. The Bible says, "And Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." So the Lord really wanted to make it very clear in his word when they came. They didn't come in the middle of barley harvest, they came at the beginning of barley harvest. So there's a real significance, because everything in the word has a significance. Now, everything, if you rightly divide the word, has a very, very big significance. And especially these kind of things, the shadows and the types that speak about our age, everything is very significant. And that's how we know the word is so inspired, is because of the significance. Let's also read Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23 from verse 9 up to 11. Let's have a look at the festival of the first fruits, this feast. Leviticus 23 from verse 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Let's bow our heads once again. Father, we do pray for Brother Emil. You know the desire that he has. Father, in your name, bless him, we'd pray. Father, help him, whatever it is, Lord. And the unspoken requests in the hearts of your people, even upon this day, minister grace unto every person, Lord. Father, we thank you that you love to reveal yourself. Father, reveal yourself upon this day in, Father, every situation and circumstance, Lord. Father, we're here to say to you, glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints, you may be seated. Now, we don't want to get into the book of Ruth, but we know that the book of Ruth is just such a prophetic book. And it speaks perfectly of the day that we're living in. And the more that you study these things, you know how things are, revelation is progressive. The more that the Lord reveals, you know, the more you get into something, the more you start to see how perfect the word really is, how things really do fit together. And how the book of Ruth is such a perfect type of our age. There was never an age before this in all the seven ages that could say that. Because the conditions that we see in the book of Ruth have only been fulfilled in our age. Because we know that at the time now when the Lord started to deal in the book of Ruth, he dealt with Naomi and he dealt with Ruth at the same time. You know, and he brought Naomi back to a homeland. We know that's speaking of Israel, coming back to the homeland. And at the same time, he was dealing with Ruth, the Gentile bride. So there hasn't been in any of the seven church ages that the Lord started to deal with his people Israel. Now Israel, the land of Israel, Jerusalem was in the hands of the heathen. It was in the hands of the crusaders, it was in the hands of the Ottomans, it was in the hands of the pagans. But it's only in our age, only in our generation, that we find this condition being met, that we find Naomi coming back to seek her lost inheritance. We find the Jews coming back once again. And at the same time, you find there's a Gentile bride. There's a Gentile bride who's ordained for full union with Boaz. So you find that's two parallel things working in the same time. And just to say it, even on the question that was raised there on the Sunday school, it was a very good question. And I think with what Brother Mike said, and
You know, these two things do reconcile. You know, I know Brother Francis asked a question, then Brother Eli answered very well as well. And I think if Brother Max would come and reconcile it. But the way God deals with the Gentiles is going to continue working the same way with the Jews. That's what the prophet says. He says, the same spirit that comes to us, Elijah, the fourth time to us, goes to the Jews, the same spirit of Elijah. Now, the same message he gives us also goes to Israel. So the way he comes now, the way he deals with us as the bride to prepare us for the rapture is the same way he's going to go after the rapture and deal with the Jews to prepare them for the millennium. I'll just give you a bit of a key there. If you want to reconcile what Brother Max was saying from the seventh seal with what the prophet says in the rapture, just think about the voice. The prophet says the voice is the voice of the resurrection. It says the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead. Now that same voice that raises the dead in Christ is the same voice that's going to raise the 144,000. The prophet says they all have to die and then they have to be raised for the millennium. So it's the same thing. You know, so you can reconcile it quite easily. You'll find it's two different works God's doing to two different people, but it's the same way that he works. You know, so I think sometimes when somebody says something, really consider deeply what they're saying, because you'll find it can quite easily be reconciled. You know, if you go and have a look at those kind of things, because the same spirit, the prophet says, the same message that has come to us goes to Israel after us. You know, and Moses and Elijah have to die, but then they have to be resurrected. They have to hear that same voice. So the same voice that finishes up the work for the Gentiles is the same voice that's going to go and finish up the work for the Jews. You know, then we are called up by the trump. They're going to be called up by their trump. So you find it's the same system, but I think it's just placing it exactly where those things happen. I think Brother Eli said that. He said it would be good to take those different quotes and show where do these things apply. So maybe Brother Max next week could do that, because it would be a fascinating study. But you find the way God was dealing with Naomi, he had a certain inheritance for her, but God was dealing with her. He's dealing with Ruth at the same time. He's got something in his mind for her. So there's the two of them are walking together. They're coming at the same time, but they're coming maybe to get a different inheritance at the end. Naomi to get back her lost inheritance of the land, the property, and Ruth is to get Boaz, which is her inheritance. You know, so they do really work parallel. But the thing we want to just look at a little bit here is, the Bible says they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And that's very significant. And if you go and read, they came to Bethlehem exactly on the day of the first fruits. Now you would find the Passover, when Jesus died on the Passover, he had to die. That was the feast of Passover. The next day was the beginning of the feast of unleavened bread, which was until the following Sabbath, I think that it was. But the day after that was the festival of the first fruits. That's when now you would take the sheaf and you'd go and wave it before the Lord. You'd take the first of the harvest and you'd wave it before the Lord. Now, that was the beginning of the harvest time. No one could go and harvest until the first fruits had first been waved. No matter how ripe other fields were getting, no matter how much people wanted to harvest their crops, God had a law in Israel that until there was the feast of the first fruits, until that had been fulfilled, no one could enter into harvesting their fields. So anybody who was looking for a harvest, anybody that had an expectation in that day to bring in the harvest, now they really thought about the conditions of things. They knew, we can't do anything until first there's a first fruits. But once that first fruits has been waved, once, and you'll see it, look how it's mentioned in the Bible, how it explains it in Leviticus chapter 23. It says in verse 11, it says, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. Amen. And that's a real, real thing. Now, the Jews actually say it. They say, none of the harvest was kosher until first that first sheaf had been accepted before the Lord. And once that sheaf was accepted, so the priests would go out the evening before, they'd go across the Kidron, they'd go to the different fields, they'd find where the fields had a good representation of the harvest, which had first come to maturity, which was golden brown. They would reap that, they would tie it in a bundle. The next morning they would come and get it. Exactly the time when Jesus was rising from the dead, the priests were now taking that first sheaf, the first of the harvest, they would take it, they would grind it, they'd mix it with frankincense, different things, and they'd go and wave it before the Lord. They'd wave it to the north and the south and the east and the west. And then once that had been done and the Lord accepted that offering, that first one that came to maturity, God was saying, now I'm going to accept the rest of the harvest. The rest of the harvest is now acceptable to me. And that's why you can see how important it is to recognize your day and its message. Because there's always got to be somebody that goes before. Now, if you go back to the days of Luther, there was a man called Luther who was in darkness. Yeah, he was a Catholic man. He was in Catholic Europe. He was in Catholic darkness. He was trying to find out his own way of salvation. He was going to Rome. He was doing pilgrimages. He was living in a monastery. He was beating himself and punishing himself and doing all these kind of things, trying to find peace with God. But God had an appointed season at that time. And that was the beginning of the restoration. So in order for God to deal with that age, God had a desire. Inside of his purpose and his plan in that age, God wanted to reveal a truth once again, which was justification by faith. That a person can find peace with God without working for it. Just through faith in the finished work of Christ. Now the whole of Europe was in darkness. Nobody understood that. But God had one man first, Martin Luther. And God visited that man and gave him a certain visitation and a certain experience. Luther was given the Bible in his own language. That's how it started. And when he went and he read the book of Romans, and then he saw the just shall live by faith, then God anointed his eyes and opened up his understanding that no, this isn't something that we have to work, but salvation is of the Lord. That Christ, when he said it's finished. And as Luther caught that revelation, as God revealed that to Luther, Luther had an experience. And that experience was very real. It was the experience of justification. It wasn't the fullness of the restored experience. It wasn't the fullness of redemption yet. But when God came to Luther, and Luther first of all experienced God's will and desire in that age, experienced God's grace and visitation, after that, the rest of Europe could come in. Now anybody could enter into that experience. Because they had been the first fruits. God always would take one first of all, give that, bring that person to a certain stage of maturity, and that person would be waived. And if that was accepted before the Lord, in that age, anybody seeking for justification could find it. God had vindicated through one man what was available to the church in that age. And that's the principles of the first fruits. And before Luther had that experience, no person had a right to expect God to visit that age in that kind of a way. But once Luther did that and had that experience, any person seeking to worship God acceptably in that age would come under the message of that man. They would come into that field because that field had already been accepted before the Lord. The Lord had already vindicated by accepting Luther and giving him that experience. God was revealing that this is my desire for this age. This is the first of the harvest that's going to come in. And then anybody expecting the kingdom of God, anybody that had a hunger and a thirst in that age, you had every right to be under a full expectation yourself for that same experience Luther had. Because that God had already waved before, had been waved before the Lord. The prophet says also it was waved before the people to show this is what the Lord has now accepted. Now friends, that's why it's such an important thing. When God is doing something in an age, to find your position in what God is doing. And also to understand the ministry that you're under. You know, just when Brother Crosby was preaching last week, and then Brother George Martin, I was thinking of that. I say, you know, sometimes I think we don't fully realize the significance of some of the things that have taken place. Because everything that happened in the ministry of the prophet, it had significance for us. It has significance for you and me today. You and me in this year. God was signifying something. God was trying to get people's attention. You know, and there's an expectation in heavenly places because God has done something in this age through one man. And something's been waved before the Lord and has already been accepted before the Lord. And that means something to you and I. If we are in that same field, if we are of the same harvest, we have every right to expect that what was accepted in the messenger, we're going to experience the same thing. And we have every right. I mean, that's the law of the first fruits. It doesn't change. Now, if I was under Oral Roberts' ministry, because remember the prophet says there were three seeds sown. So now, he was the first fruits of that harvest. Now let's see what that harvest was. Was that fully accepted before the Lord? Billy Graham was another one who went and sowed. He also had his fields of wheat that he sowed. He had his fields of seed that he sowed. But was that waved before the Lord in our age? Was Billy Graham raised up before the Lord and accepted before the Lord? Was Oral Roberts raised up and accepted before the Lord the way the prophet was? God was showing clearly something there, friends. Amen. Others entered in to impersonate the prophet after that. Others entered in, you know, Jannes and Jambres had to come after Moses, the prophet says. All these other things have to come to try to confuse. But there was only one ministry that signified and proved we're in the harvest time. Amen. Because the harvest time, Leviticus chapter 9, you couldn't call it the harvest time until the first fruits had been offered. Anything, it wasn't yet harvest time. But once there was that one sheaf waved and accepted before the Lord, you could officially say, it's now harvest time. And that's why the prophet came and preached harvest time. And that's why we know we're in harvest time. Not because somebody told us, but because something was accepted before the Lord. Something was waved to the north and the south and the east and the west, showing us that we're in harvest time. And who is the harvest? We are the harvest. Amen. You said, what holds back the fullness of the harvest is us coming to full maturity. That's the only thing. There's nothing that holds us back from going to the garner except all of the field coming to maturity. If the field is still green, if the field is still immature. And what is a sign of spiritual immaturity in all of us? Is when we don't fully know who we are. Is that not immaturity? When you don't really know who you are, you don't really know what you were called for, you don't really know God's purpose inside of your life, there's still greenness there. But the more you lay in the presence of the sun, the more that the sunlight shines upon the crop, the more it starts to get golden brown, the more you start to realize who you are. We sing the song, we know who we are, we know what we're raised up for. But how well do we know it? And that's how we said on New Year's Eve, we need to quicken our pace. We need to quicken our pace as individuals to come to a full understanding of who are you in Christ? Now, who are you in the eyes of God? We said Ruth, she didn't fully know the Redeemer. She didn't fully know Boaz. Boaz had been so good to her. He had watched over her in the fields. He had fed her. He had given her parched corn, and he had given her water, told the young men to protect her. He had done so much, but she didn't fully know who she was in the eyes of Boaz. The prophet says it was love at first sight. Boaz loved her, and he wanted to reveal the fullness of who he was to her, but the prophet says everything works in its season. You know, that's why God, if you're understanding the season, if we understand the ministry of the prophet as the first fruits, friends, we already understand the season that we're in. And if he was waved before the people in a threefold ministry, a first pull, then a second pull, but the real waving was the third pull. That was what showed the maturity in the ministry of the prophet. Then we'll understand ourselves as well, what it is that God wants to do for us. Because if you under an expectation for the harvest, the waving of the first fruit shows you the season that you're in. Shows you what God has in his mind and what is available to the people. The Bible says Jesus was the first fruits from among the dead. So Jesus is the first fruits. When Jesus came out of the tomb that day, any person who's in Christ, any person who's the same seed, any person from the same seed is going to come out of the grave. It's already been finished. God has already accepted the first fruits. If Jesus had have stayed in the tomb, none of us here today could have an honest expectation of a resurrection. We have no scriptural grounds to do it. But because he lives, we shall live also. Because God accepted him. And how did God prove? By raising him up on Easter morning. When he came out of the tomb. Just like in the Old Testament, when the high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement and go and sprinkle the blood seven times. If he came out alive, Israel's sins were forgiven. The whole nation. If he didn't come out alive, Israel would worry for the whole year because their sin, the atonement hadn't been accepted before the Lord. If that priest went in there and fell dead in the presence of the Shekinah, it meant it hadn't yet been accepted before the Lord. That when that high priest went in and offered and spoke the name of Jehovah in the presence of the Shekinah, and then they saw him coming from within the veil, that was a sign it's been accepted. Then the people would worship and the people would praise the Lord, because God had signified through one man representing the nation, I forgive you. This is the day of atonement. I've accepted the atonement for the sins of Israel. Ah, friends, if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, what grounds would we have to believe our sins are forgiven? But it doesn't only finish there. If you haven't yet risen from the dead, spiritually speaking, if you are still dead in sin and trespasses, what right do you have to expect a resurrection? If something hasn't come, if the power of the Holy Ghost hasn't struck your soul, yeah, and raised you up to change you from death to life, if you still love the old things you used to love, you still love the old fashions, you still love the music, you still love the entertainment, you still love all of those things. Friends, God hasn't accepted something. But when there's a certain something, a certain attitude, a certain approach, a certain repentance inside of you, God now will wave it before him, his presence, and God will accept that. And then there'll be a resurrection in you, and God will take you from your old life, and it's a new life inside of you. And now you'll be alive in Christ. Now you have grounds to believe, I'm going to be in the resurrection. Because I've already been resurrected. There's already been a first fruits experience in my life. That's why, friends, never accept anything less than that. Never let somebody reason you into something. Never let somebody else comfort you with anything except for the genuine experience inside of yourself. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. There's got to be a real new birth. And that's the power of the resurrection. And it's the same as Jesus when he rose from the dead. Now, James says it. He says, James 1 verse 18, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we are also kind of first fruits. There's always one that has to go before the rest. You might be the first fruits in your family. Brother Greg was the first fruits in his family. He was the first one. He was the first one that God accepted, and then he was waved over his family. And then Sister Olga came, and then Brother Alex came, and then AJ came. You know, you find there's always this kind of a first fruits. And the first fruits, it's always more difficult for them. The rest of the harvest, none of the rest of the harvest in Israel had to go through what the first fruits went. When they took that first fruits, they had to grind it, they had to beat it and bruise it and grind it and mix it with oil and frankincense and put it on the altar and burn it and then wave it before the Lord. So the first fruits, the ones that go before, look at the prophet in his ministry. Look at what he had to go through. You see, because it's like the pioneers, the first one who makes the way for the rest of them to come in. It's never easy, friends. It's never going to be easy. And that's why, like Brother Barry said a few years back, he says, that's why God doesn't call us all on the same day. That's why there's people that go ahead of you in the Lord. That's why there's people that repented before you repented. God didn't make a mistake when he did that. No, God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly when people should come in, but there's always first fruits. And James is saying, we are kind of first fruits. We are the first fruits. When you repent, you'll find there's a harvest that'll follow you. If you really follow Christ, your influence, your testimony, Christ, when he's waved over the people in you, will bring other people to the light, will bring other people to maturity as well. And that's when you know this is a genuine work. This is a genuine something in the life of a person. Paul says the same thing. Let's read this one. Romans 11 verse 16. Before we get to our thought here. Just laying a bit of a background here. About the importance of this first fruits. The first fruits ministry. Romans 11 16. Paul says, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if you go and read what he's speaking about, he's actually speaking about Israel and their blindness. And Israel being cut off from God. And people were saying, but no, God has forsaken Israel. God's forgotten his people. And Paul uses the first fruits. And you know what he's saying, if you go and read it. He says, if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were accepted before the Lord, they were the first fruits from the field. The rest of the field will come in as well. You see, and that's why the 144,000 will come in and all the different things will take place. God will never forget his people because God has already accepted Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were a kind of first fruits that waved and accepted before the Lord. So the rest of the real seed of Abraham, they're really accepted before the Lord. They really are. And it doesn't stop there because we bring it to our age again. That's why it's so important to keep the message pure. Amen. Don't hybridize the message because this message has already been accepted. Amen. This message has been accepted before the Lord like no other message. The ministry that of the Son of Man through the ministry of a Son of Man in this age. It was a vindication and a demonstration and a waving to the north, south, east, and west like no other message. Amen. And friends, that's a very, very comforting thought. Amen. To those who are part of the same field. Amen. Because Paul is saying if the first fruits are holy, the rest of the fruits is holy as well. If God's already says, I've accepted this, this pleases me in this day. And you just follow in the same footsteps, you're absolutely guaranteed God is going to accept you the same way. God is going to accept you the same way. And if God raised the prophet up through those three stages of his ministry to bring him into his real ministry, the new ministry, we can say honestly, we have a new ministry as well. We have to. If the first fruits ministry that was waved over the people was the spoken word, the third pull, that's what really gathers the bride, is the third pull. It wasn't the first pull or the second pull. That only gathered the little fish, remember. But the third pull caught the attention of the rainbow trout. That's the one that catches the rainbow trout. So this third pull, friends, this was waved over the bride. And God was vindicating the season that we're living in. God was showing what his desire is for his harvest. God was showing what is acceptable and what he will accept and what he will do in this age by doing it in one man first. And that's why it's so important to understand the ministry of the prophet. Now, we don't have to be the prophet. We don't have to have big campaigns and go and stand in front of the people and take people by the hand. And that's not the ministry we're speaking about. We don't have to go and then discern the people and all. No, we don't have to do that. That was the first and second pull. That had a purpose. But the third pull is very significant. And that is our ministry. That is our calling. That is God's purpose for this end time, for the harvest time. That's the ministry that brings the bride into the garner. That's the one that brings us into maturity. But don't forget the third pull, the prophet says when he preached the seals, he said, this is the third pull. No, so it's in different stages, as we said before, the third pull. So the unveiling of the word. Yeah? Then the spoken word and all the different things which the prophet speaks about. That's all encompassed in this ministry that's been waved over the people. And that's why if you take the message, new ministry, it's a message you'll never get tired of. You can read it and you can listen to it. Then you go and speak to this mountain. There's a virtue inside of there. There's a deep inside of there that speaks to a deep inside of you. Why? Because that's what you're ordained unto. That's what you and I are ordained unto. And that's what the prophet is showing in this message. That Paul was just showing us as an example there that if the first fruits is called holy, is accepted before the Lord, friends, the rest of it's called accepted as well. And that's why I'm saying if you look at any of these other ministries, look at TB Joshua, look at all these other ministries, I don't doubt they're anointed men. But friends, I'm not interested in getting into ministries like that. I want to be in this part of the field. Ruth wanted to be in Boaz's field because that's where the Lord of the harvest was himself. Now, we could be in any other field. You can be the whatever, you know, doing whatever you want, raising whatever harvest that you want. But Ruth, God led her to the right place, which was Boaz's field. And as she got to that field, right at the time of the first fruits, Boaz came to her. And she met, and then something started, a cycle started that was going to bring her right to her predestination, to her adoption. And that's exactly what happened to us. It is the rising of the sun, just to confirm it. That's why the prophet preaches it. Because what is he saying? And it is the rising of the sun. He's speaking about that Easter morning. When Christ rose, it was the rising of the sun. Yeah? And exactly at the rising of the sun was when the priest took the first fruits and waved them before the people. Exactly as Christ was raising from the dead as the first fruits. And the prophet says, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, He was the first fruits of those that slept in the bride. Coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Now, friends, in a sense, it's the prophet, but in a sense, it's not. Because it's the ministry. It's not just the man. But you can't separate a man from his ministry. It's the ministry of the Son of Man. It's the ministry of the Son of Man. That's the rising of the sun. The prophet goes to show that that same ministry of the Son of Man that was waved at the beginning, that same ministry of the Son of Man, when it's waved now, it's very significant. It shows that it's harvest time. It shows it's the time of the first fruits. The prophet says the first one that came to maturity, the first one that proved it was a wheat, that proved it was a sheaf. He says, I'm sure you'll see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And there'll be a message, a full maturity of the word, turned back in its full power, being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. But it was an exact ministry, friends, exact. And so significant, but the world totally missed the significance. And the full gospel businessmen missed the significance. And the leaders of today, they missed the significance of that ministry. Because they're not part of the same field. But to us, we understand the significance of this ministry. That if God raised the prophet up and did certain things and revealed himself in and through the prophet in certain ways, it's very significant to us because we're part of the same harvest. But he was the first fruits. Now look in new ministry. Listen how he starts off. He says, about that scripture, if you say to this mountain. Okay, that wasn't an easy scripture for the prophet. He went right through the first pull, went right through the second pull. He didn't understand that scripture. But you will see that everything that God does, he works seasonally. And you've got to know the times and the seasons. Jesus says, you can discern the signs of the skies, but do you understand the signs of the times? You've got to understand the season we're living in, and that's what the prophet's going to show. The prophet says here, I believe sometimes that God just lets us see things when it's time for us to see things. Because this is a great program. We're not in charge of this program, friends. God is in charge of this program. God chose Luther to be born at that time. God predestinated Luther at that time for a certain revelation and experience. It was predestinated. That was the season of justification. Then came Wesley, the season of holiness, the season of sanctification. Yeah? And God now revealed something and the people could experience something. But the first one had to be Wesley. Wesley had to experience it first. He had to go beyond what Luther had. And then Wesley received something so real. And God took him now to the north, south, east, and west, waved that before the people, that unveiling in that age. And that brought in a whole harvest. It brought in a whole harvest of people who had the same experience. Then came Azusa Street. It wasn't really an age, but God was showing where things were going. Until finally we got to our age. And that's what the prophet's saying. Understanding the season. And friends, we're in the season of the spoken word. And as long as we always keep that before us, the prophet says we're not in the season of the big tent revivals anymore. We're not in the season of those kind of things. We're in the season of the spoken word. He shows that, you know, so clearly. Then he says, God lets us see things when it's time for us to see things. He withholds these blessings. Like the blessings we're enjoying today, our forefathers did not enjoy those. It wasn't season for them. Friends, so we have every right, as long as you're walking right before God, to be under an expectation of what God has promised in our season. And we should be looking for that. Should be our focus, shouldn't it? Should this not be the year of the spoken word? To us, it should be, because we're in the harvest time. We've seen the first fruits. We've seen the sheaf being waved. We've seen God's design intention waved before us, saying, this is it. This is the first of the harvest. And then we of the same seed, we of the same field. Friends, it's got to give you an expectation. But we'll just see the way that it worked with the prophet, how God had to lead him to the fullness of this ministry, which he calls his new ministry. The new ministry wasn't really a new ministry. It was the third stage of the ministry. But it was a new stage of the ministry. But it was a progression. Because God works through progression. God doesn't just dump something on you fresh. He doesn't do that. God builds things up. God builds things up in your experience. That's why if you look at the end of 2015, if you haven't made an advancement in 2015, if you look back to where you were at the end of 2014 and end of 2015, but there's been no progression, you should start to worry. You should say, this isn't according to the laws of the kingdom. Who said it the other day, or Brother Crosby, or Brother George Martin, that if you take a child, or was it Brother Max? It was Brother Max. And if you take your child now, you know, like looking at Brother Jose's children, even our children, and you see that, hey, they're no bigger than they were last year. There's something seriously wrong there, friends. There's got to be a growing to maturity. There's got to be a progression. You've got to be able to look back and see and say, I'm not what I used to be. He's taken me somewhere. He's quickened me somewhere. He's revealed more of His glory. He's ripened me in my faith. I might not have yet to have faith to walk like Enoch walked, like the prophet says. But friends, I've got a lot more faith inside of me than I did a year ago. I do. I can believe for far greater things now than I could a year ago. And if the Lord tarries, I'm believing at the end of this year, I'm going to be believing for far greater things than I can now. Because that's the progression. That's the unveiling, and that's how it was with the prophet. It started and it progressed into the new ministry. So if we're looking at our new ministry, if you're looking at your new ministry, the real purpose that God has raised you up in the message of the hour, it's good for us as we start the year to assess, where are we? Are we growing? Are we coming to maturity? Are we moving on? Or do we need to quicken? A genuine believer now is closer to perfection than they've ever been before. You've never been as close to perfection. But friends, this all depends on how much we allow the sunlight to shine in on the seed, on the experience that's inside of us. Now, if you really want to know what the Lord thinks about you, you know, the cure for discouragement. Don't worry about what people say about you. Don't worry about what the devil says about you. Don't even worry about what you think about yourself. Worry about what He says about you. That's the only thing. When you're discouraged, get yourself in the Word. Get yourself in the presence of the Lord. Let Him speak to you. You'll come out of this so encouraged. Though everybody may be against you in this life, one with God is the majority. That's all you need. If He's kissed you inside of your soul, if He's shown His approval, blessed you inside of your spirit, it doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter. Though 1,000 fall on this side and 10,000 on the other side, it won't come near to you if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. But friends, we need to take advantage of the season that we're living in. God has shown us we're in the harvest time. God has shown us the sheaf has been waved. God has shown us His intent, His desire, and His purpose. He's shown us in the Word. He's shown us in the flesh. It's been demonstrated in our age. And friends, we need to let it soak in. We need to let it soak in. The prophet says we need to lay in the presence of the sun until it bathes down. That's what he says. It needs to bathe down until you realize yourself. This is for me. This isn't for anybody else. It's for me. Whether nobody else experiences these things, I'm part of the harvest. I'm part of the seed of Malachi 4. I'm in the right field. It's the rising of the sun. It's the season for these things. And just follow it the way the prophet followed it. Just see the way God led him into these things. Just let God lead you into your new ministry as well. That's what, because it's His intent and His purpose. And that's why He's done the things that He does. The prophet says in paragraph 15, he's going to get to the spoken word. But how does he start? He goes back to the first pull, because everything is related. You can't get to the third pull without the first pull in the prophet's ministry. So he says, paragraph 15, he says, I can remember when the Holy Spirit that night, when I returned back to the same desk from the mill there, the cave, yeah? Where I'd been praying, and I told many of you people sitting here, He had charged me by His Spirit a commission to all the world. So the prophet saying it had to start somewhere. It was an angel in a cave. The angel came to me in the cave and started this work inside of me. He says, and He commissioned me to take a gift of healing to the nations of the earth. Now, You had your starting point as well. He came to you. And he started the process in you. If you haven't had a starting point, we're not talking to you today. You can't talk about your new ministry if you didn't have a starting point. He had to come to you and commission you. He had to come to you and reveal himself to you. When you were confused and you didn't understand your life and you didn't understand why you were different than other people. You didn't understand why your friends could do this and that, but you never quite fitted in. Like my friends used to blaspheme, but I never would blaspheme. And you'd never understand why. And there'd always be something inside of you that when people would throw themselves 100% in sin, you couldn't do the same. There were certain limits and parameters. You knew that, this is going too far now. You knew it. But one day, the prophet says, oh, glorious day. He comes and he meets you and he reveals you like he did to the prophet. I've come to reveal to you that your strange birth, your mysterious birth and your strange life is because God's going to do something through you. And then you all of a sudden start to realize, like the eagle in the chicken yard, I'm not just the son of Charles and Ella Branham. You start to realize that's not just that genealogy, but I'm a son of God. You start to realize that. And the prophet, he needed that. He was confused. He didn't understand why he would see these things. And the spiritualists would say all of those things to him. But there was a commission. There was a time, God's season. Exactly when Israel was going back to the promised land. Israel becoming a nation, the prophet meets the angel. Now it's Ruth and Naomi. It shows it's the beginning of harvest time. It's coming to that season now. And it's not going to end. Once God starts something, like Brother Max was preaching about the rapture cycle. Once the cycle starts, nothing can stop it. It's going to achieve its purpose. When he says, the word that I send, it'll never return to me without achieving its purpose. Friends, this message will achieve its purpose. If it doesn't achieve it in you, that's up to you. But this word will produce a word bride. This word will bring forth a third pull in his people. This word will bring a mature bride. A bride that he can present to himself without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. The cycle has started. This word is going to bring forth the first resurrection. It started already. It started. The shout has gone forth. Nothing's going to stop it. The voice raised the dead. Then the trump to catch us up. Nothing's going to stop these things, friends. The only thing we need to do, the prophet says, is get in the turn. Make sure when the great drama, the great symphony is unfolding, that you get in the spirit of the composer. And you find your place. Your place may be so small, you may think. You may just be like Brother George always speaks about when he was at school and he was in the music group and had to stand in front of all the people. And then all the music went and all he had to do at the end, he had the little triangle. Yeah? Just had to go, ding, to finish things at the end. But friends, a symphony can't finish until there's the ting. And every person has a part to play. But you've got to get in the spirit of the composer. And friends, I don't understand how you get in the spirit of the composer unless you spend time in his message. I don't understand. Like when I read my new ministry, I want to go and find it. What is that? How does that apply to me? Why did God send a prophet and tell him, store up the food? Yeah? These messages will fall into the hands of the predestinated through the world. These things fall into our hands and we leave them on the shelf. Friends, don't do that. Don't do that. Quicken your pace. Quicken your pace. This is the sunlight. This is the light that'll bake the greenness out of you. This, if you continue to bathe in it and meditate on it and stay in the presence of this message, it'll start to make you real golden brown inside of your faith. Now, other people go before. God sent the 12 spies across. They went across and tasted of the fruit of the land first. But 10 of them weren't faithful to their commission. They came back and discouraged the people. But Joshua and Caleb, they went and came back as first fruits. And they could say, we know we've had footsteps, our footsteps, we had possession. We've already eaten the fruits of the land. And they could come back and say, the land is good. It's there for us. We've been there. And that's why you'll find like Brother Crosby has a great gift of faith. God raises up people like that. The Firefold Ministry, every part as a first fruits. God allows them to go ahead. They will go in boundaries that you and I would fear to go in sometimes. And they'll go and eat the fruit of the land and come back and say, saints, the land is good. The land is good. Let's go and take the land. You see, you have to have ministries like that. Every ministry has its purpose. And that's why certain people have to go before. Certain people have to experience things and then come back. The prophet went beyond the curtain of time. He was a kind of a first fruits. And he came back and he told us of that land. He was there. He bit his finger. He knew the reality of that land, that it was a good land. And friends, it was a good report. And that's Joshua and Caleb in this age. We are the Caleb. We'll believe that. And we'll say, that's true. That's my inheritance as well. But friends, these things were stored up in the message of the hour. And if you don't take advantage of the divine resources, it's like Israel all of these years, yeah? They used to have the joke and they used to say, oh, you know, God led Moses 40 years in the wilderness and then stopped him in the only place in the Middle East where there's no oil. That's what they used to say about Israel. But they can't say that anymore. Because now they found gushes of oil in the Golan Heights. They found gushes of gas and oil off on the Mediterranean coast. We saw it when we were there. Israel was sitting on such untapped resources. But they didn't know that it was there. They didn't really know why God had put them in that place. They looked and said, this is supposed to be a land of milk and honey, but it's not such an easy place. But God has his season. In due season, he allowed them now to start tapping into those resources. And Israel types the bride. Friends, we've been sitting on these resources for a long time. But many times we didn't know. We thought all these things is just for the prophet. But then there comes God in his season and his time that he says, no, 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 no. You have untapped resources. You have a potential there that you don't know. Just lay in the presence of the sun. And in the right season, the Lord comes to shine the sunlight. And you start to say, but hey, these things are for me. These things are for me. Look what the prophet continues on. He says, so he met the angel in the cave and how the revival started around the world. And then he continues on. And then he says, he explained the scriptures to me. Remember when the angel came down? The prophet here is speaking about new ministry. He doesn't understand the scripture if you say to this mountain. And friends, we'll never understand things until he reveals them to us. In his season, he will come and reveal to us. He'll open, he'll give us that key that to the door that opens that door. And we can expect it because it's the season. We've seen it in part, but don't you want it in a greater measure? Every believer wants a greater portion of God's inheritance in their life. Every one of us has tasted of the good of the land here. Every genuine believer has tasted of the power of God. You've tasted of the promises of God. He's moved on your behalf. He's done things for you. But friends, there's far more land still to possess. There's far more land still to possess. He says, explain the scriptures. And oh, from that time, the Bible became a new word to me. There's certain times God does something for you. And at those times, there's certain scriptures become new to you. And you will never forget them for the rest of your life. There's certain things that before you would read them and you thought you knew them. But then he comes in his season to show you, to unveil something to you. And that portion of the word becomes a new portion of the word. Same as in the message of the hour. There's certain times where a certain message book becomes new to you. Because just when you get into that message, God does something new to you. God comes down and then you can say like Job of old, I have heard with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. I've heard, but now I see. And that's what the prophet, he had heard a lot of things. And then the angel came down and rightly divided the word to him in the cave. And told him, don't you know what happened then? The days of our Lord. When all of the demon-possessed people were calling him Beelzebub. Yeah. Also, the demon-possessed were calling him, thou son of God, have mercy on us. But the religious people were calling him Beelzebub. And the prophet started to realize, this very thing that I've been fighting against, this very thing that I'm here fasting about to say, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until you take this away from me, is the very purpose to which I was born. Don't you love those kind of times, friends? Every one of us who go through seasons of confusion inside of your life. And generally speaking, those seasons of confusion, if you don't allow the devil to take advantage, it's always just before a great blessing. It's just before he opens something to you. It's just before he raises you up into the next stage. But there's always a difficulty. The prophet preaches present stage of the ministry. 1962. He was discouraged. The doors were all being closed. He didn't understand, why are people not accepting this message? Yeah. Was it easy for him? It was a hard time. But what happened? A few months later, God came and crowned his ministry. And those present stages of the ministry, the prophet says, are to manifest the Demas spirit. It's to manifest Demas, because Demas was sitting there saying, you know, this man Paul used to do great things, but he's lost his ministry. And then when Demas left, God says, good, that's what I wanted. And God blessed him. Amen. The prophet says the same with Abraham and Lot. He says it was God who was separating Abraham. You see, he allowed the strife to come and all the troubles. And Abraham's trying his best, saying, buddy, what's going on here? And he tries to reconcile with Lot. He tries to do everything that he can to keep Lot there. But Lot is adamant. He wants to go down there to the Jordan Valley. And Abraham wants to leave on peaceable terms. And the moment Lot separated from Abraham, God came down. It says, God of the north, south, east, and west. This is the inheritance I've given. Friends, those things signify something if you have a spiritual understanding. Whenever there's an upheaval, the prophet says, whenever God reveals a mystery, it's that time, the trumpet blows, which signifies warfare. There's a spiritual warfare. And when you're going through a spiritual warfare, be careful that you're not like the 10 spies. That you don't have like the critical negative way of looking at that situation. Say, oh, but it's too big. And why do these things happen? What did God so much despise in the children of Israel in the wilderness? When they said, if God is with us, why are these things happening? Be careful of those kind of statements, friends. Be careful. Be careful. We went yesterday to Carlo to visit the saints down there and had a real good fellowship there. But Brother James will tell you, it was a hard time. First, the trains were washed out outside. We had to leave late. Then the train broke down 3 times on the way. It was a tough journey. Then we had to catch a taxi ride to Navan. The brother James picked us up. But it's worth it in the end. But if you're going to look at the winds and the waves and say, but oh, if God is here, why are these things happening? You forsake your mercies. You forsake your own blessings. They that will pay heed to lying vanities. That's what Jonah said. You'll forsake your own mercies. Whenever you find things are tough, whenever you find things are going wrong, God wants to do something. If you can just have the right attitude, because friends, God is not an Indian giver. God doesn't call you today to lose you tomorrow. God doesn't take your ministry away from you. Demas thought, Paul's lost his ministry. The prophet says, God doesn't do things like that. It was a testing time. It was the present stage of the ministry, just before the crowning time. And many times these things forerun a season of great blessing inside of your life. But it's like the final test. Sometimes it's like the devil. He can sense something good is on its way. And he comes and he kicks and he fusses and he tries to do everything that he can. And if you can be like Abraham, like the prophet says, when Sarah was fussing that morning and, you know, she had a bad hair day, like he says, and she was saying all these things, he took his stool and he went and sat in the tent door and he started to worship the Lord. He wasn't going to get caught up in that fuss. And that's when the 3 angels came. That's when Elohim paid him a visit that same day. The prophet says it was Satan trying to block the visitation, trying to block the blessing. Satan knew something spiritual is coming here. Let me create the wrong atmosphere. Let me get this man to fight with his wife. And then the man would have forsaken his blessing. Friends, those things signify something. The prophet says whenever God wants to reveal a seal, something in heaven, what happens? It's a war. It's a declaration of war. There's a spiritual war. There's a turmoil in heavenly places. All through the Old Testament, how many times did you see casting out of demons? Just a couple. But when Jesus came, the seals himself unveiled. Look at the turmoil there was. The demons were crying out and people were doing all kinds of things. It's like when God wants to do something, comes on the scene, there's a war. There's a turmoil. Things go this way and that. And the best thing at that kind of a time is just stand still. Amen. Stand still. Amen. Stand still. God's going to do something. If you're at the Red Sea and the army is behind you and everyone's panicking, oh, Moses brought us here to lose us. The Lord said, just stand still and see the salvation of God. And God will open the way. But these are testing times in your experience. And the prophet went through that testing time. He was about to give up the ministry. He told his wife, here's $17, whatever, you look after Billy. I don't know if I'm ever coming back. If I don't come back by tomorrow, you phone the public service company, tell them to put somebody on my shift. He was the prophet, imagine. You think you're not going to come to times like that in your experience. But stand still, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping lasts just the night. That's what the Bible says. Joy always comes in the morning. If you can just hold on, my child. Don't be too quick to act or to react. And like we were speaking with the saints in Carlo yesterday, it's so important in those kind of times not to hide everything in the veil. If you're going through a hard time and you don't understand and you're confused and you're disappointed, friend, don't keep it to yourself. God has people that is ordained and appointed to be with you. God has companions in your tribulation. God has brothers and sisters born for the day of your adversity. And sometimes, just like we were speaking, Brother AJ was there yesterday, and he was saying certain things that he was going through. Just to say what's within the veil. Just to speak about the burden and the trouble that you're going through. Even if the other person doesn't say a single word, it helps so much. Because like you said, sometimes our troubles, because we keep them in, and we allow the devil to come, and we fellowship with our troubles, it becomes a great Goliath in our experience. But when you speak it and fellowship, and you find somebody else went through the same thing, or somebody else is going through the same thing, it comes back to its normal size again. And you say, but this isn't such a big thing that I thought. This is something that can be overcome. And the Bible says there's nothing. Think it not strange concerning your fiery trials. Paul says there's nothing happens to you, which, but it's what common among the saints. You will find there's people here that have been through exactly what you're going through. Maybe even worse than you're going through. And if you will just allow the Lord to lead you, God will lead you into fellowship with those people. And there will be balm in Gilead. And God will pour in the oil and the wine on the Jericho road. But don't die in silence. Don't keep it just to yourself. Now the devil will come and say, but people won't understand you. So what? Does it mean that God has put you in the midst of people? Everyone's not going to understand you. There's a divine compatibility in the body of Christ. Amen. Each ligament, each joint is there for a purpose. Amen. Everything is complementary and works together for the edifying of the body. So if God puts you in a body, there's going to be people in there that are going to be able to work perfectly with you. But be careful, friends. I've seen it so many times. The prophet says it's easy to build a complex. He says you just start thinking down a certain way and you just keep thinking further and you keep thinking further. And if God doesn't help you, you will make such conclusions in your mind that are so far from what's the reality on the ground that the moment you go and speak about those things, if you think somebody hates you, or if you think that man's always preaching against me, like some people do, come and sit down and let's talk. Come and let us reason together and you'll see, oh, I never realized it was like that. Sorry. We all have mind battles. It's the greatest battle ever fought. This is a fertile playground for the enemy, friends. In the mind. And if you're not careful, you're not streetwise. If you don't put on the full armor of God, putting on the helmet of salvation, be careful. The devil will take you far like he wanted with the prophet. You'll make a decision. I'm going to live in Alaska. Imagine how far the prophet had gone in his mind. People aren't accepting me. The ministers are bawling me out. Now what good am I doing? He had made up in his mind. He'd already made his mind up. And the Lord had to come down the Logos, the anointed word, in the car that day. And say to him, if you carry out your plans, you'll become a bum like I showed you in the dream. And the prophet says, but I don't want to be like it, but I want something new. Friends, you don't need something new. You don't need something new in the light of the world. What you just need is a new visitation from him. A new time that the sunlight shines into experience. Like the prophet to come and give you an understanding of what's going on. Because all things work together for good. Nothing is happening to you by chance. God has a purpose. But sometimes we have our own will. We want to do things our own way. And we get ourselves in an awful amount of trouble. And it'll seem like the Lord is not intervening. And we'll keep going on. We keep going on. You know what the Lord wants you to learn? Perfect strength and perfect weakness. That when you are weak, then you are strong. Amen. The power of surrender. There's nothing as powerful as surrendering your ways, committing your ways unto the Lord. But sometimes our natures are very strong. Like Paul in the Bible, we'll just want to keep pushing on and on and on and on. And God's trying to call you to a halt. God's trying to put barricades in your way and say, stop, stop. Let me speak to you about things. But sometimes we don't want to stop. And sometimes he has to put you in a hospital bed, looking up. Sometimes you have to lose your job and have plenty of time on your hands. Because the Lord wants to speak to you, because God's, the most important thing he wants to do is he wants to teach his children. Friends, you don't want to stay in the same place. You don't want to stay at the same mountain year after year. You don't want to keep on the death walk that you use a lot of energy, a lot of strength, and you keep coming back to the same place. You know what the prophet was missing when there was the death walk? Was the guide. The voice was speaking to him. I'm an ever-present help in a time of trouble. But the prophet says, I'm too good of a hunter to be lost. I can't be lost. I know my way around the woods. And then he kept going around, and the clouds had come down low. He couldn't see Hurricane Mountain anymore. There was his wife. There was Billy up there. They were going to perish in the night. And here he was. I'm too good a hunter. And he says, I'm going to do my best. I came through this valley. The wind was blowing on such and such a side. He goes round and says, this is strange. It's familiar. There's his deer hanging there again. And he says, then I thought to myself, I'm not lost. I can find my way out. He says, but there was a small little voice inside of there saying, you're lost. And you need to admit that you lost. And he didn't want to admit that he was lost. And he went around again, all around, around, around. And the sun's starting to go down. And it's starting to, the sleet was starting to come. And then he comes back to his deer once again. The prophet says, you're on the death walk. Friends, we've all had times of spiritual death walk. I don't ever want to walk that way again. No matter what you have to do, no matter how much you have to pray, no matter how much you have to sit down and speak about what you're going through, don't stay on the death walk. Why not at the beginning of this year say, I've been at this mountain too long. I want to turn north. There's an inheritance. There's been the first sheaf already waved before the people. We're in the season. We're in the harvest time. I want a greater portion of my inheritance. But that death walk. And then finally the prophet, he realized, Lord, I'm lost. I thought I could do it myself. And then he knelt down, took off his hat and said, Lord, I'm not worthy to be called your servant. I thought I could do it myself. I was so sure of myself. And the moment he humbled himself, then he got up and says, Lord, you are my guide. I'm nothing without you. Then he says, I'm going to go this way. He said, I would have ended up in Canada. He said, that was the best choice. He says, and then a hand touched my shoulder and turned me around. And I looked, and the clouds had parted all the way to the tower on Hurricane Mountain. It was a miracle. He's the same God today. Sometimes if you'll just humble yourself, just stop and go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm making a mess inside of my life. I'm leading myself and I'm getting nowhere, Lord. I'm getting more and more disillusioned. I'm getting more and more frustrated. The devil's taking more and more advantage, Lord. I need you. You, my guide, I'm calling a halt. I'm not going anymore. I'm going to wait upon you. The clouds will roll back in your experience once again. He'll show you an old familiar landmark in your experience. He'll turn you around. He'll show you the right way to go. And all you got to do is just keep going with your hand up there. And one of those precious hours that he walked, his hand struck the lifeline. And he knew, if I just hold on to this lifeline, it's going to take me up to all that is precious to me in this world, friends. And once you get hold of the lifeline once again, don't lose it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. We were saying yesterday with the saints, God doesn't mind our mistakes, but learn from your mistakes. God has an issue with us when we keep making the same mistake. Every defeat can be a tremendous, can bring tremendous virtue in your experience. Every defeat, you can learn so much from your defeats. If you're willing to stop and think and say, okay, look, I didn't do well there. The devil took advantage of me. Why? Go and seek the Lord. Go and wait in his presence. Go and get in his word to find out the spiritual principles of warfare that you needed to learn there to have overcome. Otherwise, you know what happens. You just push on. You just brush aside that experience. You push on. Within a short space of time, it's guaranteed you're going to be in the same situation again. And when you give the devil a second chance, friends, he doesn't play around. When he had you the first time and you slipped from his fingers, do you think when he gets you the second time, he's not going to be he's going to be merciless with you? When he gets you in that kind of a situation, you find some believers when they backslide, friends, and they come and make right. Your ears will tingle from what people can do. Believers in this message, what the devil makes you do when you backslide. Because the devil will pour it on you. Because he knows, I've got an opportunity. I may never get an opportunity like this again. And he pours everything upon you. And if, friends, learn from your defeats. Learn from your failures last year. It's the school of failure. I remember preaching on it some years back. One of the most important classes in this curriculum, this divine curriculum he's called us to, is the school of failure. Learn from your failures. Learn like Samson from your failures. Learn like all of the people in the Bible. Learn like the prophet had to when he made his mistakes. He would stop and he'd consider and he'd go and seek the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening inside of my life. Then grace comes down and the Bible becomes a new book. And God reveals to you at this time, oh, that's what this means. That's why I have to go through these kind of things. And then pray and say, Lord, let this lesson be revealed to me. Let it not just be a knowledge, because knowledge passes away in the heat of battle, but revelation becomes the sword of the Spirit. Revelation is part of your spiritual armor. When the crisis comes and you caught something by revelation, you may have forgotten it, but God will quicken it. And that's part of it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And God will give you exactly what you need. He'll bring to your remembrance exactly what is required to overcome that situation. And the prophet now, the Lord does that to him. He comes and unveils those scriptures to him. Now listen to what he says. He explained the scriptures to me. And oh, from that time, the Bible became a new word to me. I had a different look on it. A different view of it. Because something happened. Don't you love it when those something happens happen to you? When you say, I never understood this in my life. I never understand what the prophet was saying there. And then something happened. Don't you want something to happen now? It can happen now inside of your heart. If you say, Lord, I want something to happen. Unveil a seal to me, Lord. Unveil the next seal in my experience, Lord. Show me the next step. Take me to the next stage in the present stage of this ministry. And see what God will do for you. Because that's his heart's desire. That's what he wants. The prophet says, then a little later, he said, if you will be sincere and stay humble. You see, he's come into the first pool now. But the principle of moving to the third pool through the second pool is never going to change. Be sincere and stay humble. Sometimes when the Lord starts to bless a person a little bit, they don't want to stay humble anymore. And they make shipwreck. And God has to really take them right round and round and around to bring them to the place he would have taken them straight away. Because humility is such an important thing. The prophet says, he said, if you'll be sincere, stay humble. Keep away from money and stuff. Money, woman, popularity. Be careful of those things. Says, then it'll just keep blessing you. And you'll keep climbing. My. Don't you want that this year to be your testimony? That this year I started here, then I just kept climbing. Just keep climbing. Just be sincere. Stay humble. Stay away from those weaknesses that have pulled you back before. Some people it's women. Some people it's the girls at school. It's the woman at work. Some people it's the boys. You know, where you work or the boy next door. You've got to recognize your own weaknesses. You've got to keep it under the blood, the prophet says. If your weakness is woman, keep it under the blood. Don't go and chat with women that aren't your wife. Or if you're a young man, stay away from those kind of situations. Don't put yourself in the devil's way. Don't put yourself on the devil's ground. Friends, you give him a stick, like Brother George Quinn says, he's going to beat you with that stick. He's going to beat you without mercy. But recognize where you've made your mistakes before. Recognize, like Samson should have, what took your vision away. Playing around with Delilah. Playing around with the woman of Timnath and those kind of things. He should have learned his lesson a lot sooner. But he kept just overriding the things that he had been through and pushing on. And friends, in the end, it almost cost him everything. It cost him his eyesight. It cost him his liberty. That cost him his reputation. That allowed the people to glorify Dagon. The prophet says they built a new idol that day. They put up a new idol to worship Dagon for delivering the servant of Jehovah into their hands. He should have learned from his first mistake. Because when you make your first mistake, when you first lead yourself into temptation, God will always give you a way of escape. And you'll say, I almost fell there. Be careful. Because next time it won't be, I almost fell there. If you put yourself in the same way of danger next time, it's going to go further next time. It's always like that, down the way of sin. So the prophet says, you will just keep climbing. He says, how many times you look at men who climb up in great ranks, get high names, but sometimes that's not what God calls high. Now he's starting to speak about real, what God really has inside of him, in his desire. He starts saying, look at the people out there. They want these great things, and they call these things great. He says, but look at John the Baptist when he came. Jesus says, of men born of a woman, there was no one greater than John. He says, he was greater than David. He was greater than Solomon. But he was a man standing in the mud, in the perfect will of God, walking with God in season, recognizing who he was, bringing forth the fruit of his age. When they said, who are you? He says, I'm the voice of one that cries in the wilderness. Are you the Messiah? I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. He knew who he was. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. And the prophet said, that is the principle in raising up in your ministry. Whatever your calling is, you must decrease. This year we need to decrease. We need to lay in his presence so that he can increase. We need to learn perfect strength and perfect weakness. The prophet says, you have to master the thought of human ability. That you can't do it yourself. And sometimes that's where the great disappointments have come. We try to do it ourselves. Like Moses, you kill an Egyptian, you hide him in the sand. You think the people are going to appreciate what you've done. They don't appreciate what you've done. Doesn't mean you're not called to do it. But you need to go to the burning bush. You need the burning bush. It says Moses recognized everything he was lacking was found in the burning bush. And once the burning bush spoke, the Lord spoke through the burning bush. God now led him to destroy a whole army of Pharaoh. And there was nothing wrong in what he did. When he did it himself, it was displeasing to the Lord. But when he did it under the leadership and the guidance and under the unction of the Holy Ghost, it was something that God had ordained him to do. Exactly like us. Let's just wind down as we get to the prophet gets to the point here. He says, then he gets onto the second pool and he says, you notice that all these things set fire. And the Holy Spirit was true to his word. Remember the angel had told him, you'll have two signs. So the first sign, you'll take the people by the hand. He says, then about 5 years later of taking the people by the hand, one night in Queen City in Regina in Canada, a man walked across the platform and there it laid his life open as it could be before the Spirit. There was discernment as he had promised. Now the ministry is moving to the next stage. What about your ministry? What about your calling? What about the different stages God wants to take you in your experience? You know, he will be true to his word. The prophet says he was true to his word. He'll be true to his word concerning you. He'll be true to his word concerning me. He'll be true to his word concerning the bride. Just in season, everything comes. God works season. And the prophet saw it in season. Oh, the vision broke. He saw the secrets of the man's heart. Brother Baxter came up on the stage and said, Brother Branham, the prophet says, I don't know what's happening. Yeah? And Brother Baxter came and said, Brother Branham, this is exactly what you said would happen. The angel told you that if you would be sincere, if you would get the people to believe you, it'll go higher and higher. It'll come to a time you will know the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the people. And God was faithful. And God brought it just in his season. Then it came time for the third pull. Now the first two pulls were a public show. The third pull is not a public show. The first two pulls could be impersonated, and they were. Look at all these prophets so-called now impersonating friends. Not to say they don't see genuine things. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Look at all these things that have raised up. But the third pull, there's no impersonation. There's no impersonation. This is something that is so personal and so sacred. It's something so individual between you and God in your calling. Amen. It can never be impersonated. The third pull will never be impersonated. You're either the real thing or you're not. If you're not the real thing, it's not for you. This is for the real thing. This is for the rainbow trout. This is for the sons and daughters of God that are walking in step in the spirit of the composer. Walking step by step with the word. That's for them. So the prophet says, then that day down in Dale Hollow, we know the story. He spoke to the fishy. Because Banks would said the right thing. And now straight away when it gets to the third pull, the prophet introduces this. It's something that you say. You've got to say the right thing. Listen how he says it. Mr. Wood said about some old sister that used to feed them a slice of homemade bread and butter. Belonged to the Church of God. We ought to go up and tell her that we got saved. You know, there's just certain things we can say that takes a hold with the Holy Spirit. Just certain things that pleases him just right. And when we say that thing, I want you to notice what you say. He brings it back to the scripture. If we could just find what to say, because your words judge you, your words condemn you, or your words will bless you. Shh. Now friends, when you've got a critical spirit around you, you're going to speak critical. When you've got a backslidden spirit around you, you're going to speak things you shouldn't speak. But when you're in the spirit, when you're in the most holy, when there's something godly around you, the things that you say are going to be godly. The things that you say are going to be pleasing. It's not possible, the prophet says, to go and live an ungodly life and then all of a sudden to enter into this realm and speak. You can't. He says you can't go out of the Shekinah presence, the most holy. Go out there, play with the world and quickly come back at night and run inside of there again when you come to church. It doesn't work. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. It was a progressive unveiling. It was a progressive revelation. He looked back and he could see God's led me from there and he's led me to here. And I want to keep going and quicken my pace that he may lead me further on this year. But it's something that you say. And unconsciously, Banks must have said the right thing. Because all of a sudden, the Spirit struck me. Thus saith the Lord, you'll find in the next few hours there'll be a resurrection of a little animal. That was the beginning of the spoken word. And then the prophet says, and after that I started to speak certain things unconsciously. And I'd find that happen exactly that kind of a way. But it hasn't yet got to the fullness. But God is bringing him in step by step. First pull, second pull, bringing him through these different experiences. So now he gets there and he's in the woods that day. And he says, and I sat down between those two trees and I propped up my feet upon one and leaned back against the other in the warm sunshine. Because he had some time. And he says, let me meditate upon that scripture. Because something said, if you say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. I said, there goes that scripture again in my mind. So I'll just study that scripture. And I said, now, how could that apply? Have you ever read the message and you wonder, somebody, how can that come to pass in my life? Now, there's going to be seasons and times that you don't quite see it. Certain things that may be for you that you can't quite grasp. But everything has its season. And God will lead you step by step into that. He says, I thought, oh, maybe Jesus gave them power the other side of the atonement like he did the prophets. Now, we'll finish with this thought, but watch, the prophet's going to get to one thought here. The prophet was looking at this scripture, if you say to this mountain. He was putting it so far away from himself. No, he was putting it far. He thought, this is, I don't know how to get to this promise. I don't know how this is going to be fulfilled. I don't know how this applies. I don't know how Jesus could have said that because he hadn't even yet died and he was telling his disciples. But the atonement hadn't even yet been made. He couldn't reconcile it for 2 years, he said. That puzzled him. How can this be? I know it's the truth. He said, I checked every version, every translation, even the Douay version, which is the Catholic Bible, thinking maybe that wasn't translated right. No, friend. It's not that the Bible's not translated right. It's just that you and I aren't seeing it right. But the word is always right. So finally, the prophet, after those 2 years, thinking to say, but I don't understand. How can Jesus say to a man, if you speak to the mountain, yet he hasn't even shed his blood. He hasn't even yet brought a new birth. He hasn't yet even come fully to dwell inside of his people. How can it be? He said, or maybe it's the way he did with the prophets. Now, when he said the prophets, something struck him. Because what were the prophets? They were the mouthpiece of God. Amen. That when God wanted to speak something, he'd lay his hand, the burden of the word of the Lord would come upon the prophets, and then God would speak his word. And Isaiah would say, a virgin shall conceive, and then afterwards, when the anointing left him, he'd be embarrassed to say, how could I have said that? That's what the prophet says. It was a man surrendered in the hands of God. And there was a divine purpose that God wanted to achieve something at that time. God wanted something said. God wanted something done. God wanted something achieved. So God would lay his hand, anoint the man. The man would speak. And the man would even think it was himself speaking. The prophet continues on. David says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, David thought that was he himself speaking, but it wasn't David speaking. It was the Spirit in Christ, of Christ in David speaking. Let's finish off. He says, Then I began to think about it. What he did with the prophets. I became conscious of something near. And I was talking to someone. And something said, that's in the atonement. For if a man or a woman is so consecrated and surrendered to God, and God just moves in and uses their voice, it isn't the man speaking. It's God that's in him speaking. And I've read this before, but it's necessary again. The prophet says, I thought, that's right. Yes, he's always right. That's right. Something said to me, how do you see those visions? See, the prophet, the Lord showing the prophet, it's not far away. You've already been experiencing this in measure all the time. When you see those visions, is it you? When that person comes up before and something will happen and you'll say, your name is Mrs. Smith. You were at the doctor's. You were praying such and such a prayer this morning. Was that the prophet? Or was that God speaking through the man? You see? Then he says, what would you think when the Holy Spirit gets into a message? You don't know what to say. What is it speaking then? When you're testifying to somebody, when you're fellowshipping in your house, when you're speaking to your wife, speaking to your husband, and you get in the Spirit and you say something and you didn't even know why you said it. And then somebody says, how did you know to say that? And you say, I don't understand. I don't know why I said that. And then they explain to you inside of their life, I'm going through this, 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 and this. How did you know to say that? Friends, that's the spoken word. That's the spoken word. That's God using a man. God using a woman. Someone who's consecrated and yielded and surrendered. And God will come and use them and speak through them. And that's why the Lord was showing the prophet, don't put this far away from you. I've taken you through a progression in your ministry. I've built you up to this stage. You've already experienced these things in a measure. Then he said, I said, that's true. I see it. It's God that's speaking. And all the church needs is a step closer to him. And more of a consecrated life to live with him. And then the voice said, say what you will. It'll come to pass. And then that anointing came down upon the prophet and raised him up and said, say what you will and it'll come to pass. The prophet says, you can't fumble at it in your mind. This isn't from the origination of man. He says, but when that anointing is upon you, speak and it'll materialize. And friends, that's the season that we're living in. And every single one of us, in a measure, that's why I wanted just to say that at the beginning of the year. Look back in your experience. God has already done things like that inside of your life. Every genuine believer here has testimonies that you can say, God spoke through me. God anointed me. God, when I prayed, God anointed me when I prayed, and God answered his own prayer. Because Jesus told him, have faith in God. Have the faith of God. It's got to be God's faith in you. God anoints you and puts something inside of you because there's a need. Because there's a condition. Because the sun needs to stand still. God lays his hand upon Joshua. And Joshua speaks to the sun. And the sun stands still. And then God takes his hand of Joshua. And Joshua's a man once again. Is that not the way that it is, friends? So this is your new ministry. It's already been waved to the north and the south and the east and the west. The prophet says the third pool's happened so that it could identify its presence among you. He says, and then he names the squirrels and Sister Hattie, and he names Sister Meda and the Colorado Storm and all those things. He says, it's already identified its presence among you. He says, God will do something great. Look how he finishes off the message when he comes now to the time almost when he's about to pray. And he says, oh brother, sister, do you realize the day that we're living in? That's why I started with the first fruits. The season. Do we realize the season that you're living in? The most glorious time. When God of heaven will put amongst human beings to ask anything you will, and he'll give it to you. He says, it's too deep for my mind. I know that. But I hope that my heart can contain as much of it as I can. I've lived on it. I've thrived on it. I'm going westward on it. I'm entering meetings on it. I'm living on it. God's word is right. Now, as far as I know, that's the last thing to happen. I don't know nothing else what could be just to give to human beings. Ask anything you desire. No matter what it is, just ask and it'll be given to you. Can you see his wisdom? Oh, friends, it's a glorious hour that we're living in. It's glorious. Is it not? Don't you love the sunlight in this age? Don't you love the message of the hour? Should the message not be your closest companion as we go into this year? You know, like I want to say, it's good. Do your other things. But friends, don't ever forsake the most important thing, which is to lay in the presence of the Son, which is to worship Him and get a godly spirit around you, then to feed on His word. And let it become bread on His table, the prophet says, the Shekinah bread, when He shines the glory upon the word. And you start feasting upon that. God's going to take you another step further in your ministry. And every time God anoints you, every time God visits your soul, He moves you a little bit further. You'll never go back. He's advanced you further in your calling. Every time you come to church and God speaks to you, every time you come to the prayer meeting and you get into the presence of God, you'll never be the same. God's moved you along in your experience. And then there's a certain junctions in time when He wants to confirm to you in your own way the season of time that you're living in. And the prophet says, God was confirming it to me in my own way with the squirrels. God wants to confirm it to you and me in our own way. God wants to confirm the season that we're living in. So, to conclude, let's quicken our pace, saints. And let's think of a couple of practical ways we can quicken our pace. Let's support the prayer meetings. If you want our church to quicken its pace, friends, sometimes the prayer meetings are so badly attended. But think about it. Don't you want to quicken your pace? Don't you want the church to quicken its pace? Surely you can't just leave it to me or to Brother Max or to somebody else. It's not up to us. It's up to all of us to quicken our pace, to get the atmosphere deeper, to get the anointing deeper, to walk closer and closer to Him, more and more in step with His word. Let's support the prayer meetings. Let's come, because the prophet at the end of the message says, when I come back from San Jose, we're going to have special prayer meetings to receive the Holy Ghost so that people will be walking with God in His program. It's prayer, friends. You can never get into that realm without prayer. Because Jesus said, when you enter into your secret closet, that's when it'll take place. What else? Be faithful in your post of duty. Because that's when God does those things to you. When you at your Red Sea, when you're in the post of duty, when you're fighting in the Valley of Ajalon in your post of duty, and then there comes a need, and you're faithful in the line of duty, God sends the anointing down and you can speak and go forward. That's the way that it is. Be faithful in the little things, the prophecies and all the big things. He says we should be living above the short hair and all of those kind of things in this age. He says God's breaking great things to us. He says, but those that have been faithful in the little things, they'll catch it. But those that haven't been faithful in the little things, it'll pass over their head, as sure as the world. So friends, it starts in simplicity. It starts in small practical things. It starts with renewing your family altar at home. It starts with getting up and calling upon the name of the Lord before you go to work or college or whatever it is that you do. It starts with you getting back in those messages the way that you used to listen to the messages. It starts with fellowship around the word in season, the way that we used to fellowship around it, separating ourselves from the sin that has so easily beset us. Let's press on this year, saints, because God has good things in store. Let's stand and may God bless you. Let's come to a time of worship, saints. You know where you are in your experience. I know where I am. You know the challenges you have now. The prophet at the end of this message, he says, when people all pray, he says, why don't you pray? It says, you may be the one who says the right thing to God and God comes and heals somebody. God may anoint you and now you say the right thing and the situation changes. Let's worship. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's speak to the Lord. Let's bring ourselves in the presence of the Son.
Take me past the outer courts to that holy place. Past the praising altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. but it's only found in your presence, Lord. Take me to the holiest of holies. Take me in, Lord. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holiest of holies. Please, Lord, take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the cool, my Lord. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Oh, take me past the outer courts into that holy place, past the blazing altar. Lord, I want to see only your face, my Lord. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. Oh, I hunger and thirst, Lord, but it's only found in your presence. Lord, take me. Please, Lord, take me, Lord. Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, take me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, take me into the holiest of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take the coal, my Lord, take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Oh, we enter in into the temple. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days, to honor Him for His mercies unto us. Oh, give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people, how excellent is it, how excellent is thy name. Praise the Lord, for his mercies unto, his mercies to us day by day. Give thanks to the Ancient of the. We give you thanks. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Take me in, Jesus, oh, take me into the holiest of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holiest of holies. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Sing one more breath.
Where He will lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. And I remember 'twas for me that He was slain on Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. truest of friends to me. Oh, I remember Calvary. Oh, I delight in His command. I love to be led by His dear hand. Oh, His divine will is sweet to me. Oh, it's sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Oh, Lord, lead us, Jesus will. Oh, He lead me night and day. Oh, He lead us, Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. Oh, I remember Calvary. Oh, onward I go. No doubt, no fear. I'm happy with Christ, my Savior near, trusting that I saw. I shall see Jesus, my friend of Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. To me, for I remember Calvary. Oh, I remember, for I remember Calvary. Let me never forget, for I remember Calvary.
Let's bow heads. The prophet says, right now, every person in divine presence can receive whatever you need before the Lord. He says the only thing that holds you back is that dark shadow. That's something that's coming to stand between you and the glory land of God, He says. And the only thing you need to do is cast that thing out. And He says the preaching of the word casts out evil spirits. And the best thing that you can do to keep that evil spirit off is to pray. Is to call upon the name of the Lord. And if the anointing is upon you now, you speak and you go forward. And as you leave this place, don't look back. Don't be like Lot's wife, like Brother Tom said, looking back. But speak and go forward. And see what the Lord will do for you. Follow Him one step at a time. Whatever He's spoken to you, don't leave it here. Don't be a forgetful hearer, my friend. But if He's spoken to you, let while that anointing is still lingering upon you inside of your soul, while His voice is still ringing inside of your spiritual experience, act upon it. Act upon it first of all by appreciating Him now and saying, thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of me. And then as we leave this place, if He's told you to go and make something right, go and make it right. If He's told you to separate, go and separate. Don't let the sun go down. Do it now. Do it while He's near. Call upon Him when He's near. Seek Him while He may be found. Take advantage of the season of visitation that is given to you inside of your experience. If you're needing salvation, call upon Him now. Speak to the rock and it'll bring forth its waters. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whatever you need, let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's speak to Him. Follow the anointing that's upon you. Follow His leadership. For we know not how to pray, but He'll give us the words to pray. Let's all pray. Let's seek the Lord. Let's appreciate Him for His goodness. Father, we do thank You, Lord. Father, that You're good. And Father, Your grace and mercy is all that we need.
Father, most gracious Jesus, we come before You, Lord, even upon this time. Father, thanking Thee, Lord.
Father, just to bring it all before Thee, Lord. Father, I'm asking of Thee, Lord. Father, Your grace. Come unto me, Lord.
Grant us grace, grant us mercy, Lord, grant us grace, grant us grace,
Thine will be done, be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done in my whole life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. God's presence, I'm a blessing. Jesus, I want to die, you must live in your world. Oh. Jesus, I want to die, you to my will be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you, and all I want to see is your face. Oh, thine will be done, thine will, Lord, be done in my life. In my life, not my will, Lord, but thine be done in my own life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. I must decrease, he must increase. Your power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary. Your pride's no longer a mystery. Thy will, Lord, thy will be done in my. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done in my own life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. Jesus, I want to die, you must live. In your word, there's grace to believe. I won't let you go till you bless me, like Jacob I wrestle till I'm free. Thine will, Lord, thine will be done, Lord, be done in my life. Oh Lord, not my will, Lord, but thine be done in my life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing.
Just a reminder, Brother Francois has invited us to his house after service. Whoever's free, please come. Just at the end, we really were so sorry about Sister Shaky losing her father. You only have one father. It's not an easy thing. We thank the Lord for comforting our sister. We thank the Lord that everything seems to have gone well in the funeral and so forth. So the brother was inviting us and the sister to their house. Whoever's free after service, look forward to meeting you there. Thanks to the saints from Carlo. Good to see you. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads to ask Brother Eli, would you be kind enough, please, brother, to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly, gracious Father, what a good sermon to hear at the beginning of this year. How to quicken our pace, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because it's so late, even more than we believe, O Lord. We are coming in your presence, O Lord, surrendering ourselves into your hands for this whole year, learning from our mistakes last year. Because whatever we did that hindered us from serving you, we don't want to walk on the same way again. Let us learn from what we did wrong so that we can correct our pace and be ready for your calling, O Lord. Because, O Lord, as the sheaf has been waved in this age, you are calling us unto adoption.
Hallelujah.
We shouldn't, O Lord, settle for less than adoption, O Lord. Because our calling is a higher calling. It's not just in these petty things on which we have been sitting for a long time, O Lord. We should move forward now and aim to the aim, the objective of our calling, O Lord. That's why we need to give diligence to the word. We need to give diligence and examine our life and see whatever prevents us from attaining the fullness of our calling and put everything in order so that we could be at your service. Dear Lord, what an opportunity us, Lord, to have such a gathering of saints.
Hallelujah.
Because many are longing behind, O Lord, trying to find an opportunity to meet in this way, O Lord. But let not us take it for granted, O Lord. But we want to take every opportunity that you give us to try and use it for our perfection, O Lord. Bless your servant. May you renew his strength, O Lord. We know he must be tired after being sitting in your presence and trying to bring something for your people, O Lord. Give him some more so that your people could find something that can comfort them on this path, O Lord. We commit our dismissal into your hand. Now as we go, O Lord, let us meditate upon these words. Let us not be forgetful. Let us not be negligent on what we hear. It's not a habit. It's not a custom coming into your house, sitting, singing, and going back home. But let us meditate upon these words and let them produce the fullness of the aim you sent it for, O Lord. Dear Father, we think to our sisters and brothers who couldn't make it today. You know there are many good reasons behind their not coming to church, O Lord. Those who are sick, let your hand touch them and heal
Hallelujah.
Them, O Lord. Those who are not among us, those who traveled, O Lord, bless their way back home, O Lord. Protect them with all things that are happening in the world. But we know you promise that will bless our going and our coming back, O Lord. Father, as we'll be meeting at Brother Francois' house, we know you are the comforter, O Lord. Us, we can do whatever we can. We can say whatever we can, O Lord. But you are the main comforter. And we leave our sister shaky in your hands, O Lord. We don't know what's going on in our hearts. Losing a dear father is not an easy thing, O Lord. But
Hallelujah.
We plead your mercy and your grace upon her, O Lord, so that she can retrieve her strength and stand again and walk in this path, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit our way back home in your hands. Give us traveling mercy and help us as we'll meet again. We commit next week, the week that we are starting in your hands. Our children will be going back to school, O Lord. We call that your mercy will be upon them so that you'll protect them again. As the system that we are sending them to study upon, O Lord, is a very corrupt system, O Lord. but let the word that we are giving them, let our prayers every day with them, O Lord, keep and protect them, O Lord. We commit everything in your hands. Be with us, bless us, and we commit all this year in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Just since let's start off this year, let's come. We'd like to set aside next Saturday as a day of fasting and prayer to seek the Lord for his leadership this year. So we won't have Friday service. Let's come 5 o'clock Saturday. Let's make it a bit earlier on Saturday as well. Let's come and pray. Let's consecrate ourselves. Let's seek his face. Let's humble ourselves. Let's quicken our pace. And the best way you can quicken your pace is in his presence. Is yielding yourself to him and seeking his face, seeking his will. So that's next week on Saturday. No service on Friday. Please come in here. Wednesday service as normal. And let's seek the blessing of the Lord and the leadership of the Lord. We're so grateful for the meetings we had. Brother Crosby was a great blessing. Brother George Martin, Brother Tom, it's been a blessing. Brother Lubanza at the beginning of December, what a great blessing. And we really pray the Lord may continue to quicken us through the ministry. That's why he's given us a fivefold ministry, for the perfection of the saints. So we no longer be children tossed to and fro, but that he brings us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that should be the most important thing in our life. Some people say, oh, too many church services. It's never too many church services. The early church, they met daily, breaking bread from house to house. So friends, let's not too much submit ourselves to the spirit of Laodicea. Because friends, you want to leave this place. And the spirit of Laodicea is going to hold you back. So may God bless everyone. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who contributed in this year gone by. Every one of the ministers, the deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, every officer, ushers, brothers and sisters, we really do appreciate so much every little bit of support. We may not be able to thank everybody personally, but one good thing is the Lord sees it. He even sees the widow's mite. So we really do appreciate the saints from last year. And I really have an expectation by the grace of God that he'll do something for us beyond our expectations this year. And may God be glorified. Let's sing one more song as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
I have heard of Christians long ago. They were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die for the Son of God. Oh, they'll never, never deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come, oh, and the years have gone. But the cause of Jesus, oh, it still goes on. Now a time has come, oh, to count the cost. To reject this world, oh, to embrace the cross. But one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died, oh, to give us life till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to, oh, to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I commands, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who bore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Oh, let's pledge, I pledge allegiance